Email latedebate@rte.ie.
Hello again. Still with us here in studio. As you can hear, we have people live in studio and engaging in an ad break chat. Maria Walsh, Fine Gael MEP for Midlands North West. Michael McNamara, Independent MEP for Ireland South. And Alice Mary Higgins, Independent Senator. And from Brussels, Jack Power, Europe correspondent with the Irish Times, is on the line. Jack, so we're going to look at a couple of issues here, namely environment and competitiveness. Mario Draghi looking to achieve more growth through greater competitiveness. Some people say, you know, more growth is going to come at the expense of the environment. But what was what's Mario Draghi's prescription for Europe stopping being a laggard and forging ahead in areas where it's been outstripped by other international competitors?
Yeah, so one of the big buzzwords around the EU kind of bubble for the last year or so has been competitiveness. And basically, you know, what they mean when they say that is, how can we get Europe to stop kind of falling further and further behind the other big powers like the US and China economically? So Mario Draghi is the former head of the ECB. People probably in Ireland know him best from his time at the head of that institution, you know, during the years after the financial crash. He was brought in to do a report looking at this, and he basically said that there's, you know, a series of kind of fundamental changes the EU needs to make to stop this kind of slipping away and kind of slow decline as it's increasingly outpaced by the other big beasts like the US and China. Some of those are kind of financial reforms about how money and capital moves in the market. But basically the bottom line was, he said there's an investment gap of about 800 billion that the EU is short a year when it comes to those other rivals.
And does he have any kind of prescription for that? Is it like, you know, there should be greater cooperation between member states and investment as a block from the European Union by whatever means it does that? Or is he talking about loosening the rules on state aid?
So he talks a lot about closer integration of the kind of financial system. So not having kind of 27 different capital and financial markets where people can draw up investments, and kind of trying to make one European capital market where people can invest their savings a lot easier. You know, European companies can raise money a lot easier and not have to go to, you know, Silicon Valley in the States. And the kind of, I suppose, big policy question that he doesn't really set out in his report in writing, but is kind of between the lines, is basically this issue of more common borrowing. Is the EU and the Commission where's the money going to come from? And one of the big ways to kind of raise that money is common borrowing, which a lot of the more kind of frugal states, you know, like Germany, the Netherlands, are very, very skeptical over. They don't want the EU to take on, you know, billions and billions and billions of common debt that it will jointly be on the hook for as the 27 member states. So it really speaks to kind of the crossroads the EU finds itself in at the moment, that it has a lot of big ticket bills that it's going to pay if it wants to kind of move forward in terms of being more economically competitive, if it wants to do more in terms of the green transition and the environment and kind of transitioning towards a decarbonized society, and then also huge spending plans on defense and becoming a much bigger player in defense, right, in light of the threat with Russia. But there really is no clear agreement as to where, as I said, the money is going to come from.
All right. There was skepticism in a number of states, I suppose Germany being the biggest of them during the financial crisis, of giving Greece a dig out. In fact, it led to the rise of the AfD in Germany, and skepticism about any kind of common European borrowing. So do you think a report, Maria Walsh, by Mario Draghi saying actually it's in your economic interest to improve competitiveness to do this will get that across the line?
I do. I think if we are going to fundamentally compete with larger countries and superpowers like the US and China, then we need to utilise our bloc. Right now, and I think it's fair to say, if you speak to any SME, I mean, greatest example is I was in Cavan Friday and speaking to two entrepreneurs in tech. you know, I asked them, would they look to Europe to scale their business? And they said, absolutely not. It's too difficult. It's like working with 27 different countries. We don't have cohesion. There's no focus on growing the market collectively. And it's easier for us to get into the US or further afield. So with that sense then, and you take Draghi's report, in excess of $800 billion, and then on top of that, the $200 billion for third levels to work closer together in terms of innovation and scaling enterprise, I think if we are going to look at competing in the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years, then that is what we need to do.
All right. Maria Walsh is convinced by the arguments, Michael McNamara.
Not all arguments in the report, just in terms of common borrowing. Yeah.
Right. Are you convinced by the idea of common borrowing and greater cooperation? And do you think is it a chance of flying, given what Jack was outlining there about the differing stance of the member states?
Well, my understanding is the Dutch government have already ruled it out. And I suppose what I find somewhat concerning is this idea that, like, Draghi was fairly specific when he addressed the... It was the last time in Strasbourg, wasn't it, he addressed
yes.
us about issuing bonds, mutualising debt for defence spending. And I suppose there would be, I think, a certain concern in Ireland that, you know, there was no mutualisation of debt to when Ireland was effectively forced to bail out the banks. Now, after making lots of mistakes domestically, it has to be acknowledged, there was no sort of prospect of mutualisation of debt for infrastructure spending that would benefit the European population. And now we're talking about mutualising debt for defence spending. And of course, Ursula von der Leyen has spoken about the hope to ramp up the military defence complex or the military industrial output in the European Union, which is, you know, mainly, let's face it, Germany and countries at the core of Europe, as a way maybe to kickstart the German economy, which is in recession. I mean, I think people forget that. I mean, Germany's in recession. Energy cost is particularly crippling, I think, industry and competitiveness right across Europe. That is partly as a result, I suppose, of the Ukraine war and the decisions that were made around that by the European Union and its member states, or most of its member states, Hungary being the exception. But, I mean, there is a price to be paid for that. And I suppose it would be ironic, perhaps, that parties that would look to Viktor Orban and might share, they're not in the same group as him in the European Parliament, but they arguably are cut from a similar cloth, are growing in popularity in Germany as a result of Germany being in recession. So, I mean, you know, Europe is going to have to refine its competitiveness. The big issue is around energy and energy costs, and where is Europe going to find energy from? That may pose...
But it's fair to say you need investment in order to scale that. I mean, if you look at Ireland... I mean, where are development or future growth, if you don't mind me coming in, around renewables? We need that EU injection of cash.
Absolutely, but the Dutch have ruled it out.
Okay. I mean, Alice Mary Higgins, what's your view on it?
I think that the common borrowing idea is coming a little bit late. So I think if we come to, you know, a lot of the mistakes that Europe has made, I'm actually worried that with the new competitiveness frame and the way it's been approached, they're going to make them again. So under austerity, under austerity was exactly the time, you know, when we needed to look to greater kind of financial solidarity, so that we would invest in the infrastructure we need, so that we would keep on track. Because we lost basically a decade where we weren't moving on climate action, the smart, sustainable, inclusive growth we were meant to happen.
I think one of the troika, the IMF, yes. have acknowledged that at this stage, that there was an investment opportunity in Ireland at the time, and that maybe that they dropped the ball.
And they dropped the ball, exactly. So there was a gap then. But the other mistake that was being made then was focusing on moving away from the social cohesion piece, the climate action that we needed, and focusing on a short-term economic frame. Now they're talking about common borrowing, but they're talking not about common borrowing for infrastructure, for public services, for green investment. They're talking about common borrowing to take public money and direct it largely into private companies and into industries, simply because they'll make money, not because they'll deliver the Europe we need or the world we need. So, for example, effectively an industrial deal is being proposed, which is replacing the Green Deal. So the climate was not even listed in the top three priorities listed by Ursula von der Leyen when she came through. And it, we see again. I think it's getting.
She mentioned it, but she discussed it. I mean, Greens voted in favour, not in the majority, but they did vote in favour.
But going through to
in the debate against Orban.
But what we've saw is the talk.
It was a response to where he was and what his key point.
I'm going to say a focus on defence spending. Even though we know defence is actually one of military emission is one of the things that is driving climate change, we're seeing a focus on the idea of companies find it so difficult, so less regulation, less standards in terms of companies, and more access to public monies.
I just want to bring
simply for profit. And last thing, I'll just say,
very briefly,
to put competitive, if you even if you were going to be competitive, to just stick competitiveness into the title of anything. Who wants to sit down with somebody who says, "I'm the minister for competitive, I'm the commissioner for competitiveness again."
No, sure, look at me. I mean, I suckered four people into a discussion on it. And it's getting lively,
So silly about sticking the word competitiveness absolutely everywhere and thinking that somehow makes us competitive.
Right. Marie Walsh, Ursula von der Leyen, when she made, you know, when she accepted being president of the Commission for the first time, she was all about climate change, having said precisely nothing on it on her career before that. And part of the rationale people thought for doing that was to get green votes in the European Parliament to get her across the line.
Well, we worked on a pretty heavy legislation piece in terms of our climate action, our goals towards 2030, our goals towards 2050. We've seen an increase, if you ask, I sit on the Agriculture Committee, if you ask many of our farmers, if not all of them, the shift in gear and the focus in these past 5 years coming from the President of the Commission on being ambitious in our climate, they would say it came too heavy and it came too quick. We could talk about competitiveness, but ultimately we need an EU bloc that's working together. And the greatest example I can give you is how we responded to COVID. Slow off the blocks, but as a member state, we would have never had access to the vaccine and the PPE gear and the bounce back in terms of recovery and resilience if we didn't work from the EU. And may I just stress, in the speed of which we are trying to be competitive, we do need cash flow and we do need to make sure that we are
Even that is, though, shrouded in controversy, the COVID deal. And I mean, the court of first instance ordered that the SMS communication and all of that be released. Now, I don't know.
That's between Ursula von der Leyen and the head of Pfizer, is it?
Yes, and I mean, like, all of this sort of stridency around Viktor Orban and stridency around Hungary has sort of, in a way, distracted from the fact that von der Leyen and her commission presided over a disastrous decline in European competitiveness and a huge decline in industrial output in Europe.
I want to go back to Jack Purr, but we also need to
look to where we are in the world right now. We actually need cooperation globally. So this competitiveness frame, look at COVID. We didn't share the vaccine with the rest of the world. If a global pandemic is an example where you need cooperation, not just competitiveness, climate is an example where you need global cooperation and not just a competitive frame. I think it's an old idea.
Can I just stress, in our 50 years of relationship,
a modern moment.
Ireland is now ranked as the most competitive country in the Eurozone. So let's not forget where we've been and where we could be going
Jack
in Purr, that competitiveness
I'm going to put you in the spot that many political correspondent has been put in the past. Yes. If you had to call it, what would you give the chance for common European borrowing, if you could answer me in 15 seconds?
15 seconds? Probably not good. Not good. I mean, France and Germany both are really domestically kind of at swim at the moment. There's nobody picking up the baton in the middle of Europe to say, this is what we're going to do, this is the plan, and we're going to drive it forward. So the prospects for big sweeping changes are probably as kind of slim as they ever have been.
Okay, all right, we're going to take a break. We're back in a minute.
The Late Debate with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.